Amen. Okay. Open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And a long time ago, when I was in Arizona, I was really studying, I really wanted to figure out Jesus. You know, I wanted to figure something out. And I got to noticing that there was particular things that they did with the blood in the Old Testament. And then Jesus did particular things. And I got to thinking, and the number 7 seemed to be a significant number. So I went to my pastor. There was a guy that I'd hang out with and talk to him about stuff. And I went and talked to him and I said, I think Jesus did something with his blood 7 times. You know, I said, I don't know what he said, what do you think he did? I said, I don't know what he did. I said, he did something with the blood 7 times. So we counted through different things. And that was like my first heavy revy. You know, I thought, man... And I didn't really realize just how important it was. And that was way before I ever even heard anything about the Stations of the Cross. But I didn't really understand just how important it was to identify them different things that Jesus did with his blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 tells us, first of all, it said, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So right there is the first. There's, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Now, that's important. That remission is a New Testament word. See, in the Old Testament, they had atonement. So when they shed blood, you got an atonement for your sins, which was just a covering. And it had to be renewed every year. But a remission is a complete washing away. It's completely gone. It's completely gone out of God's memory. It's important to understand that. One guy said, God takes your sins and he puts them into the sea of forgetfulness. And you and all your wisdom take your little fishing pole and you go out there and you fish them out of there and you remind him of them. Talk it off. See, we're not supposed to have a sin conscience. God wants us to have a righteous conscience. He wants us to understand that the blood of Jesus did a perfect work. He washed away your sins. He does not want you to beat yourself up over your past. He wants you to know that God dealt, that Jesus and God dealt with it. All. Period. It's done. Your past, as a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it tells us that you've been made a new creature in Christ. A new creature has no past. Period. When you got born again, you got made a new creature. Your past is just gone. God forgot about it. You just as well not be too worried about it anymore either. Learn from it. Most definitely learn from it. But you don't sit there and rehash your old sins. No more. Now when we think of the resurrection, we need to also draw attention to his death on the cross and the shedding of blood so that we can walk in his victory. See, it's not enough. It's absolutely important to understand that your sins have been washed away. You know, we celebrate that. That's a great thing. But there's more. He did more with the blood. If that's all he did, that would be a great thing. But he did so much more with his blood. And he did it intentionally. And he did it for us. And we need to identify these things. It's important to understand that God never done anything by accident. Everything that God did has significance. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So now there's various different reasons right there. There's four different reasons why he shed his blood. Just in that one verse, there's four different things. You know, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So there's four different things right there identified in one verse. So now let's start pointing out some particular things so that we can have a revelation of those so that we can walk in that victory too. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." So right there is the first place we find mention of his blood being shed. See, at the garden, of Gethsemane, what would have been redeemed by the shedding of his blood? You know, at one point, Jesus prayed the prayer of consecration. He said, you know, if there be any other way, this, do that, but if not, if it be thy will. See, there's a lot of Christians running around saying, "If it be thy will." We don't have any business whatsoever saying, "If it be thy will." He wrote his will down for us. He wrote it down for us to follow. And Jesus was getting ready to do something that had never, ever, ever been done. And he said, and there was great pressure on him, and he said, "If it be thy will." That was the prayer of consecration. But you know something, Adam, when he was in the garden, he lost our willpower. When he sinned, our willpower got taken away from us. But Jesus got it back right there. Right there in that garden. Adam lost the willpower in the garden. Jesus got it back in the garden with the prayer of consecration, "If it be thy will." So we can declare unto ourselves, we receive power to say no to our will and yes to the will of God. See, we all cross that path. Every one of us. Every one of us has pressure applied to us, and we have a choice to make. We can either say, "Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and bend to the pressure," or we can say, "No, I'm going to run to God. We all have choices every day. We can sin or we cannot sin. Now, you know, it's not a real easy thing to walk in willpower before you get born again. A lot of people try to get better. They try to do the right thing. And they don't understand why they can't, because they don't have the power of Jesus on the inside of them to help them do that. A lot of people like to sit around and say, you know, if it was me, this is what I'd do. Here's the thing you got to understand. It's not you. And if you haven't walked a mile in that man's shoes, you don't know what you would do. So you need to just pray for him. I've seen a lot of people really get down on alcoholics. They say, well, all you got to do is stop drinking and just go. I say, well, guess what? Sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. There's some people I've known that just could not stop eating. You know, they just eat all the time. It was a pressure release for them. It was comfort for them. And then some people say, well, they're just this or that. I said, no. You don't know. Have you ever been in their shoes? No. Then don't say what they are. Period. You know, that's a terrible thing for the church to judge other people. But what they need to understand is if they're born again, they've got the mind of Christ. And that they can have victory over these challenges. But it's going to be through Jesus. And it's going to be through a revelation of what he did for you. You know, without knowing what he did for you, you're not going to walk in that. You know, Jesus said an interesting thing. If you believe and doubt not in your heart. See, you can believe and doubt at the same time. And in fact, that's where a lot of people have the challenge. See, they're believing something. And that's why they're having a hard time with the doubt that you're telling them something and they're doubting it. It's because they already believe something different. I run into it with religious people a lot. They've been taught a certain way for so many years, and you tell them a different angle at something, and they doubt that. If you don't believe me, go tell a Baptist about getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're believers, but they have doubt about something that they haven't been taught. Every one of us have been taught something that wasn't the truth. I know you have. If you've ever spent a day in a public school, you've been taught something that wasn't the truth. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So now there's the whipping post. So what was redeemed at the whipping post? That is our health. That is our healing. And the Bible tells us that by his stripes we were healed. Here's an interesting thing. Scientists have identified basically 39 different root diseases. And under the law, when you got scourged, you weren't supposed to get 40. You're supposed to get 39 stripes. Jesus paid for all of your diseases. All of them. Sickness is a curse. It's a curse for breaking the law. There's a lot of Christians that are afraid of the curse. But look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Every time you read those two verses, read 29. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. You're going to break the law. Is there anybody that has any doubt about that? You're going to break the law. That's why you have a need of Jesus. He's the only one that did not break the law. I promise you, you're going to break the law. Now, this is not giving anybody a license to go out there and be an idiot. Just because you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and you're saved by grace, that does not give you a license to go out there and do stupid things. That's God's not going to punish you, but here's the thing. There is a devil out there. And when you go out there and you do stupid things, you're going to win stupid prizes. That's just the way it is. You can't just go do whatever it is you want to do. That's what the devil tells you to do. But here's the thing. When you do make a mistake, your Redeemer has already paid for that. You do not have to live in fear of some punishment or the curse coming upon you. That's taken out too many people. I've ran into people that were so afraid. These are word of faith people. These are Christians that have been in the Word of Faith movement for years and years and years. And they were afraid to do a lot of stuff that was plumb fine for them. But they were afraid that they might have made a mistake. And then because they made this mistake, something bad would happen to them. That's foolishness. That's not believing in the blood of the Lamb. That's believing in your own works. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, you are redeemed from the curse of the law. Sickness is a curse. Now, this was symbolized in the body in the Last Supper. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, we just was there, talked about them stripes on his back. That is a cat of nine nails. That is like the cruelest form of punishment. They take these, you know, these weren't just plain whips. These whips had glass and sharp rocks and iron and stuff braided into these whips. So when they take these whip, and they whip him into his back, and that those sharp objects would sink into his flesh. And then they would drag that across so it would rip his flesh open. It was a severe punishment. It was a sacrifice for us. That's what he, when he shed his blood out of his back, it was for our healing. See, these pictures that Hollywood puts out of Jesus on the cross, that's not even close. You've never seen anything on TV that was even close. The Bible tells us that a Roman soldier looked at him and he couldn't even tell he was even a man. He just looked like a chunk of meat up there on that cross. They tore his flesh. They tell us his bones were exposed. That punishment, 39 times, because they figured that 40 times was known to be fatal. They didn't want to kill him. Not that way. An interesting thing, when you got a punishment from the law at that time, you either got scourged or you got crucified. But nobody ever got both. But Jesus got them both so that he could take care of everything for us. Always know this. If there's anything that Jesus didn't do, we'd have to do it. If there's anything that Jesus didn't pay for, we would have to pay for it. And we can't pay it. He's the only one that could. Look at Psalm chapter 129, verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back and made long their furrows. That was talking about his scourging when he was getting that cat of nine tails. They prophesied that. Also in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. Just right there. See, all the way through the Old Testament, you can find them where they were talking about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame in spitting. They spit upon him. So when he went to the whipping post, we need to understand this is for our healing. I decree to you, I command every sickness and disease to leave your life in Jesus' name. Your healing has been paid for by the Master. You are free now in the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that we've been made kings and priests. Kings decree things. Priests proclaim things, offer up praise. One thing Jesus told the leper, said, you go take this to the high priest and have him pronounce you clean. Did you know you can pronounce yourself clean? It's not you doing it, it's Jesus doing it. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. He's the healer. He's the healer. We pray, he does the doing. Go over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. We're back there again. They released Barabbas unto them. When he had him scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. You know, the soldiers beat him too. So many times people miss out on this. But you can go take communion. Sometimes people have some very, very, very deep hurts. Sometimes people have been through things that have caused them to live in sorrow and live in pain for years. You know, sometimes maybe they've done something that they don't think they can possibly be forgiven of. They try to accept Jesus' forgiveness, but they just don't understand how deep His forgiveness is. And they always hold it against themselves. When Jesus got this intense beating, you ought to know that He bled inside too. He didn't just bleed outside, He bled inside. He had deep bruises. So what was redeemed when He got beaten? Our forgiveness and liberty from the hold of transgressions and iniquities. See, sometimes people just don't understand that God has completely 100% forgiven them. Every single mistake. All of them. A transgression is something that you do with full knowledge that it is wrong. It's a wrong thing to do. And it's a willful sin. That's what a transgression is. We've all had those. We knew it was wrong when we did it. But did you know that Jesus took care of that too? And an iniquity is a weakness or fault that you may have been born with. You've heard that saying, like father, like son? That's an iniquity. A lot of us have those. How many times have you heard somebody say, I'm not going to be like my dad? And 30 years later, they look just like him, and they talk just like him, and they act just like him. Why? Because it's bred into you. You don't understand, you got a new dad. And you can break them generational curses. And you can be the man that God wants you to be. You really can. No matter how many times people prophesy over you and say, you're going to be just like your dad. You're going to be just like your mom. That should not ever, ever be told to a child unless it's in a good way. Let that child grow up to be somebody different, somebody that God designed them to be. I wish people would stop prophesying rotten things over children. And they do it constantly. So I declare to you, I command every grip of transgression and iniquity to be broken off from your life now in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, let there be restoration and wholeness in your life. No more transgression, no more iniquity in the name of Jesus. We can walk in newness of life when we understand what the blood of Jesus did for us. But we got to let Jesus transform us. We're not going to get through the next one, so let's just take on the next four in next Wednesday's Bible study. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. We thank you for everything the blood of Jesus did for us in our redemption. Father, we thank you that we can claim victory in the blood of Jesus, that victory belongs to us because Jesus gave it to us. We thank you for everything that the blood of Jesus continually does for us. According to 1 John 1:7, it tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Father, we praise you for that. We thank you for that. We know that we can't make it a day without making a mistake. But the blood of Jesus has us covered. Father, we honor the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your protection that you give us through the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you put your Son on the cross to shed his blood and die for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.